We congregated here again for another Nerd Rant.
Actually, we are back with a Nerd Rant.
Yes, we are. But before we rant about things, or actually, as the internet told us, we do rather civic discussions or civilized discussions, maybe.
Probably. We do not rant, actually.
We ramble.
We ramble. So maybe we should just rename the entire format to something like Nerd Ramblings.
Before we do that, I think we need to talk about some things organizational.
Yes.
The thing is that YouTube, with the change of their terms of service, recently introduced that they can put ads in front of the videos, even though creators are not in their monetization program and actually don't want to monetize on the videos.
That's unfortunate, but that's true. As far as I know, because when we went to YouTube, we decided not to put any ads on our channel. So if you are encountering ads now, it's not our fault, unfortunately.
Yeah, that was not a deliberate decision by us. But however, now that YouTube decided to put them there anyways, we decided to enter their monetization program.
Because it makes no difference for you.
Yeah, you will be forced to watch ads no matter how. I think you already saw some ads in front of our tutorials. So just to make that clear, it wasn't our initial idea, but by ourselves.
And sorry for that.
Yeah, sorry for ads. Right. But today we wanted to talk about something different than YouTube's terms of service, which is incidentally a question that was posted by someone on our Patreon a few days ago, maybe yesterday even, I think, which was he was irritated by where should he render his setups. Should he render in Houdini? Should he export and render in another tool that he learned before? I think in this case it was Cinema 4D. And I do have opinions on that.
No, I do too. It's a very important and interesting topic, and it comes up all the time.
Yeah.
And here it is again.
Yeah.
Rendering. Rendering is the hardest part, because let's be honest, rendering is not our main focus.
No.
Sort of.
No.
We are caring about the geometry.
Yeah.
As soon as the effect is working,
yeah,
rendering is a little add-on that we have to do.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, of course, it's the most important part in a way, because without rendering, you don't see anything.
Yeah, you don't have a final image. The thing is, though, that when I started out, I was very focused on rendering. And I think most guys that do not enter 3D through the traditional ways of hard surface modeling or sculpting enter it through rendering. But not only do I want to talk about rendering, but in general about pipeline, because I often encounter it on commercial projects, that at some point the question arises if it's wise to leave your Houdini environment. And
absolutely, it's a very important question, because there are a lot of reasons to leave Houdini.
Yeah.
One reason could be that the entire team is working with a different package.
Yeah.
Because of training, or because of monetary reasons, or because of
resources,
just different functionality, or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And that is a strong reason to just leave Houdini. I mean, traditionally, Houdini always was considered there in the visual effects corner.
Yeah.
Taking in data from different packages, then adding the visual effects, and then exporting again.
Yeah.
I think Houdini was for a long time not considered a package to create the final image for look dev and stuff like that. But nowadays that changed, especially for small productions. It is actually capable of doing anything.
Absolutely.
Nevertheless, as I said, there are reasons to leave Houdini, and you have to consider wisely, or you have to carefully think about if this is a good idea.
Yeah, because from a Houdini artist standpoint, and no matter if 90 people on your team are on another tool and there are only two Houdini artists, or you the sole Houdini artist, it's annoying to have to deal with other packages, because then suddenly your role comes trickling down from a TD or from an artist that builds procedural setups to being the janitor.
Yeah, that's very true. Pipeline.
Pipeline. And I don't want to diss pipeline TDs here or pipeline devs. It's a necessary position, and it's a position that I have absolute respect for. It's just from a Houdini viewpoint, most other tools that you interface with are lacking.
Lacking regarding interfacing, right?
Yeah, import.
So, yeah, let's first put it here on the table. What are your options? Well, there is Alembic, of course.
Yes.
Thanks for that.
Yes.
Fortunately, it is open source and it is capable of a lot, but it is only capable to do these things if both packages, the exporting program and the importing program, support the features.
Exactly.
And we both, I think, encountered that that is just not the case in most cases.
No.
I mean, we don't have any production experience with Maya.
Nope.
Or Autodesk products, but other than that, we tried pretty much everything. And yeah, Alembic support most of the time is
flaky.
Lacking. Yes, especially because other packages usually do not have a concept for per point or per element data like in Houdini.
Exactly.
At least not that sophisticated.
Yep.
So exporting, I don't know, color on primitives or I don't know, a matrix on vertices is something that is supported by Alembic in theory, but other packages usually cannot read the data.
Or the person responsible for the import just wasn't aware.
Yes. And then there is coordinate spaces and different coordinate systems used by packages, left-handed, right-handed, Z up, Y up.
Different scaling.
Nobody understands why initially there was no standardization regarding coordinate spaces.
Yeah.
I mean, of course it's arbitrary, but it would have made sense to just pick one, because
yeah.
I don't see any reason to pick one over another. It's just to just
That's
agree
just
on one system.
Yeah.
But there are these problems. So yeah, Alembic is lacking, and that means as soon as you leave Houdini through Alembic, you will lose data, you will lose features, you will lose stuff,
or will have to incorporate hacks to get that data over,
like encoding a velocity vector in color or something like
yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
And then retrieving it from the color information
yeah.
that is imported as vertex colors or something.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, that's quite smart. Nevertheless, it's just unnecessary
yeah.
work.
Yeah.
But be aware that if you export from Houdini to Alembic, you will most of the time lose data.
Yeah.
It starts with the geometry types. I think Houdini just supports more geometry types than other packages. Like all the primitives, for example, it's not that easy to export primitive spheres.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you just have a setup where you have, I don't know, 200,000 primitive spheres,
yeah.
exporting them is not that easy.
Yeah.
Then exporting points is not always supported.
Nope.
I think Blender, for example, cannot read points as particles.
I'm not sure.
Cinema 4D, when I last checked, could read points as particles,
it
but
can.
It converted them to thinking particles.
It depends. So you have
really?
The option, yeah.
Okay, at least that. So I'm not totally up to date what exactly it is, but I think we want to talk about this topic more in general today anyways.
Yeah.
That means just be aware that stuff that you create in Houdini will not end up necessarily in the package you're targeting. And we saw this with Blender, where unfortunately the Alembic exporter, at least that is how it seems to me, is more created for character animation.
Mm.
So it supports character animation niche stuff. And per point data just does not end up there. I think it's possible to export color, but only on vertices. And I'm not even sure if that is possible, because Blender, for example, does not understand per primitive color.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always vertex color. So you first have to convert your stuff inside of Houdini to vertex level, then export it, and then it might come in.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure if it does.
Yeah.
But and then there is this caching inside of Alembic, where you just save one geometry state and then the animated transforms, for example. That is something that is not necessarily supported. And then in this case, you have to just export the entire geometry for every frame, and then these alembics get huge,
yeah.
and that just
kills
might
it.
Kill everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you have to check beforehand. But that is only Alembic. Do we have other options?
We got USD, which in some tools just is starting to be implemented. We do have, of course, HDAs in conjunction with Houdini Engine, which is I think, supported and implemented differently depending on the software package you're looking at.
Yeah, that's true.
I think Maxon tried to maintain their Houdini engine implementation by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And within the reason, the most recent version of Cinema 4D, it's even missing, I think. Mm-hmm. They don't ship it anymore. I think Unreal is in a pretty good state, but I'm not sure about that. I haven't checked that in ages. I think there is one for Unity, and I might be missing some here.
Okay.
However, I mean, it depends. I've only worked with Houdini Engine inside of Cinema 4D, and there were issues because you had to stick to one certain Houdini version, which might not necessarily be the most stable version because side effects update schedule is rather dynamic, let's put it that way, in comparison.
Which is good and bad.
Absolutely. There were some interface types missing that were just not available. Channel ramps, hugely important inside of Houdini, would not transport over in an HDA.
Well, true, yeah. If you want to really have a functional HDA inside of a different package, that's a different story. But you could, in theory, just use HDAs to bring over the data.
That is
just convert the data. So to build your own importer as an HDA, make it run in Houdini Engine, that is probably an option if Alembic fails.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, when I last checked with Cinema 4D, but to be honest, that is years ago, that was not possible because of updating issues. Okay. So the HDA plugin ran all the time, and that slowed everything down.
So it was recooking every time.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, you have to check if the HDA is actually working correctly, and then you have all the hassle of building the importer.
Yeah.
And even if you do that, you have the problem that you have to convert geometry types.
Yes.
Like, what do you do with NURB surfaces inside of Cinema 4D?
Yeah.
Not much.
Yeah.
And I think the Alembic importer of Blender is not capable of handling NURBs either.
I'm not sure.
So it's a complicated topic still, and I was very excited when I encountered USD. Mm-hmm. But as far as I've seen, at the moment, USD is not mature inside of different other packages than Houdini.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that is something to hope for. That is probably something that we can hope for, because in theory, as far as I have studied the PDG system, it is capable of a lot.
Yes, definitely. It just seems a bit confusing the way it's implemented currently in Houdini.
Absolutely, absolutely. It is easier in other packages. And by the way, Blender Foundations is actually currently actively working on it. So with Blender 3.0, the PDG support will be vastly expanded.
Okay.
If you're interested, by the way, you can check the developer's blog. I think there is a blog post about... Let me quickly check. If I quickly find it, but you can continue talking.
Yeah, meanwhile, I'll go on, because I think we should also, while you research USD and Blender, we should also be talking about the other option there is. That means assembling and final rendering your scene or your project inside of Houdini.
And that is the point. As soon as you encounter too many hurdles.
Yeah.
You have to just decide what to do. And if you're a small team or even a freelancer, you can easily just finish everything inside of Houdini.
I mean, we had that, let's talk a bit behind the scenes here. We had that situation once where we had that project and we were so focused on getting it done in that one software package that we're using.
Mm-hmm.
And we just hit walls left and right and did nothing worked. Third-party render engine kept crashing all the time. Deadline kept creeping on. And in a kind of ejection seat last minute decision, we decided to rebuild the whole project inside of Houdini. And we basically rebuilt, I think, weeks of work within 2 weeks in Houdini and just rendered it out and handed the project over. And it was okay and done.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think, but we were a small team back then and we had the, I don't know if you want to call it luxury, but the flexibility of just forcing two really good 3D artists to just work with us in Houdini and hiring a few other Houdini freelancers on a last minute kind
of. Yeah, that's true. And not everybody is capable of doing that. But if we put it that way, well, you encountered a lot of problems exporting to, say, Cinema 4D or Blender, then you are stuck to Houdini. And that means, what's next? That means rendering in Mantra or Karma.
Or a third-party rendering engine.
Or a third-party. And rendering engine. And that is, again, a very, very important decision. And while Mantra, of course, is just very powerful because it has a very flexible shading language that you can use directly by typing code or by nodes, to me, it's sometimes a little overwhelming.
To stick with the nuclear-powered aircraft carrier analogy that so many people liked, it's the reactor.
Yes.
You have to be a nuclear engineer to run it and work with it.
Absolutely. And it got better with the introduction of MAT context.
Yes.
Nevertheless, it's just, if you are used to something like the Blender shading nodes, and at least for the projects that I worked on, that is usually enough. I never had to work on this shader coding level.
Yeah.
Then the MAT context can be quite overwhelming. Nevertheless, I think for most of you, it's not a problem because it's Houdini. Everybody knows how this goes. Nevertheless, Mantra is not the fastest.
No, I don't think Side Effects realized this. I mean, they're working on Karma still, which is the successor for Mantra. Mm. And I'm very much looking forward to how that's going and growing and developing. It just didn't feel ready for production yet, but let's see what upcoming releases might include and might have for us.
I'm looking very forward to it. But if you decide not to use Karma, which has exactly the same problem regarding complexity like Mantra, if you just want to render your stuff out quickly, then maybe a third-party engine is for you.
Definitely.
And I think you did your research.
I wouldn't call it research. I just dabbled in a few. The thing with third-party rendering engines is that not only do you get an engine which might have one feature that you're missing or that's not so well implemented in another render engine that ships with the tool, but also you get a software that you might know from another package and might have been using there, especially when it comes to Arnold, RenderMan, Redshift, or Octane.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them, I mean, Arnold and RenderMan, I only briefly dabbled in, just did a standard scene just to show that it's definitely possible. I mean, both you and me, we worked a lot in Octane and RenderMan, Octane and Redshift, that is.
That's true.
Which are GPU-based, which are quick, which are a bit limited sometimes, but give you really, really great results. And what I recently did, I recently revisited kind of a render engine I tried out a year ago or so and forgot over that year and then just suddenly popped up, and it's 3D Light.
3D Light?
Mm-hmm. Which
wasn't that the engine that was built around the RenderMan shading language?
I think it...
And embraced the Rays algorithm?
I think it was. I think it was trying to compete or to be a RenderMan alternative. I think the developers went away from this dogma. And what they do now is they just try and build a very simple, rather quick, easy-to-use CPU-based path tracer.
CPU-based.
And you might say that is weird, and I'd agree. At first, I was like, why would you use a CPU engine if you have these beautiful GPU path tracers sitting around here? But they do one thing very clever. So what they do is they give you the basic version for free. And the basic version includes the capability to render on 12 cores per machine.
Mm-hmm.
And you might say with a nowadays workstation, that's not much. And I agree. And you can buy, I don't know for how much. I think they ask $60 a month or, I don't know, $700-$900 for the perpetual license where you can have unlimited rendering threads on a machine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's not the business model they go for, because they have a very, very easy cloud integration.
Ah,
it's ridiculously easy.
I see where this is going.
So you just buy your core minutes on their cloud render server and you just upload the damn thing and get a feedback in your IPR. And it's really snappy and it's really, really simple to use. Simple
in
like I like
great.
Using it.
So that means shading in 3D Light is on a higher level than Mantra and Karma.
Yeah, it definitely
so
is.
You're just wiring shaders together and maybe, I don't know, curvature or something?
At first it seemed even limited to me because it's restricting itself to a very basic set of shaders, mainly the Disney shading model.
Mm-hmm.
However, I was surprised how far you get with that.
That is what I wanted to say. At least for me, 90% of the time, that is what I need. And of course, sometimes you need something special like thin film interference or something. But most of the time, that is totally fine.
Yeah.
That is, by the way, why I like Cycle so much, because it, I like 3D Light, obviously, just embraces this model and gives you everything that you need to go with 90% of the materials, and everything else is left to OSD in this case.
Yeah.
So any chance of adding shaders through coding to 3D Light?
I think they have OSL support, but okay. I might be mistaken. I just recently took it up again and just was really just using the standard shaders. I haven't really done any deep research yet.
Okay, but if we want to structure this discussion a little, there are different different things to consider. So one is quality, and I think quality-wise, Karma and Mantra are great.
The thing is, quality-wise, you can render good quality images even with most experimental path tracers.
Yeah, that's true. And then we have, of course, rendering speed, and there the GPU engines shine.
Yeah.
And then we have cost. Yes. Don't forget cost, because Mantra and Karma come with Houdini, with the Houdini license. And just like Cycles, by the way, which is free inside of Blender, and the GPU engines like Octane or Redshift just come at a quite okay price. And now you're telling me that at least the basic version of 3D Light is free too.
Yes.
So for a single artist, that might be an option if he just feels Karma to be too difficult or too complicated.
Especially for that use case when you have, like with COVID, someone working remotely, maybe only hauling around a laptop. And then rendering becomes difficult. I mean, you can haul around an eGPU, yes, but you have a single one then, which you have this huge box with you, which you have to schlep around with you.
Yeah, that's true.
And so a remote rendering solution that's cloud-based suddenly becomes an option, I think.
Yeah, not bad.
And with all those, I want to add infrastructure cost and ease of service and stability. Mm-hmm. Stability is a huge one. Mm-hmm. Which I never quite got when we've been working together in commercial projects, because I was always the kind of guy going for speed. So I never understood why studios would still want to stick around with CPU renderers back then, when GPU renders were just arriving and offering a 10 to 20 fold increase in speed over traditional engines. But you just want your render to run overnight and finish and not be surprised by a seg fault the next day you come in.
That is very true. And I'm still getting them with my machine, because I probably stacked the GPUs too closely together.
I occasionally do get them as well. Mm. And I couldn't even say that there's any worse offender of all those GPU rendering engines. They all crash at a certain point.
Yeah, that's true. So there are a lot of options for each situation. There is a solution, of course, but I want to put it a little bit more general. Mm-hmm. At least I want to share my experiences with this whole topic. And that is, I like to stay in Houdini till the end, because everything is supported.
Yeah.
Mantra and Karma support every geometry type, everything. Instances and pack primitives and poly soup and you name it.
Yeah.
And they're powerful, they're free. It's a good solution.
Yeah.
But me personally, I have to say, I don't like look dev and scene building, environment building, world building inside of Houdini.
I was going to touch on that.
I just don't like it at all. As much as I like geometry creation and programming and working with one single object, as frustrated I am by the viewport of Houdini, and no Karma and Solaris did not change that.
Nope.
It added more complexity where I needed less complexity. Yeah. Yeah. So this direct interaction with the scene is gone.
Yeah.
And I think when you're designing, you are just you're just making decisions, a lot of decisions in a short amount of time, and then revising these decisions. And for that, you need very direct access to the data. And in different software like Blender, sorry to say that, I have the feeling that you are closer to the data. It feels so much more intuitive. And that is why, as long as I'm rendering a traditional project, without any per point data or particles or effects or something.
Yeah.
If I'm rendering an object with some nice shaders, I actually enjoy very much exporting the stuff to Blender and then doing all the look dev there, to be honest. But of course, it's very limited. And as soon as you're starting any effects stuff, it probably fails. But yeah, you get another very nice and free render engine over there with Cycles that even runs on the GPU. And now that they are developing Cycles X, everything will be even faster because Cycles X mainly is a refactor, so focuses on the same features, but faster. So that is an option, but of course only for traditional stuff like modeling something with polygons and then going over to Blender for shading. Yeah. That is something you could do as soon as it is effects. I personally use Redshift or Octane inside of Houdini, but I really don't like all the added complexity that is necessary to just move an object in Houdini.
Yeah, or camera animation was a huge one. Just talked to a freelancer that we both know, and he was massively complaining, and rightfully so, about what it takes to animate cameras decently inside of Houdini. It's a pain in the arse.
By the way, I wanted to do a tutorial on camera animation. That reminds me that I have to do this tutorial.
Recorded.
Yes.
And I think, side note, I think Henry implemented something like a camera blender node in Mops Plus.
Oh, in his paid version of Mops. Yeah, that's nice. Nice to know.
Yeah, but still, it is weird that side effects so clearly misses the point on look dev with the way Solaris has been built.
Well, I'm not sure if they miss the point. I think they hit the target exactly for big studios, where you have a lighting TD and a lighter and a colorista dude and everybody working together on 1 million shots. For this, it's actually great to have procedural control over everything and stuff. But we are, as always, talking small productions.
Yeah.
So, say, teams of 5 people max.
Yeah.
And for that, especially without an art department, because AAA games or feature means all the art is already done when you come to look dev. It's just recreating what the art department created, right?
Yeah.
With us little small designers, it's very different. We are just sitting in front of the computer trying stuff out and trying to find a solution directly in 3D without without concept sketches and stuff. And for that, Houdini is not made. Just one little example. It seems ridiculous, but to me, it's really a large distraction. Like in Blender, you have these shortcuts where you just press G and move your object around. Mm-hmm. And in Houdini, you have these handles and they are just off. Sort of the axes are too long and everything is, they are not looking right. And then you have to press T to transform. And it's, I don't know. I'm having a hard time actually telling you what it is. It's just I'm feeling as if I'm wearing gloves.
It's like, again, and I don't know why I always tend to the nuclear analogies. You know these manipulators
with refined
fissile material?
That's the feeling.
Yeah.
That's the feeling.
It's just a bunch of minimal, subliminal clues that kind of just with each just marginally get you further away from just really touching the object. And suddenly you're behind a meter of lead glass.
Absolutely. And then there is one more thing, a very important thing in my mind. That comes to my mind why I prefer Blender so much, and that is Eevee. Because in Blender, you actually have a
real-time
modern rasterization engine giving you real-time feedback that is compatible with the render engine.
Yeah.
So what you see is what you get in most cases. If you build a procedural shader or something, you actually immediately see it with ambient occlusion and fake GI and shadows and reflections.
I was surprised how consistent reflections. It is.
And that is huge, actually.
Yeah.
And in Houdini, it's really pain in the ass even to make a diffuse map show up correctly.
Yeah.
And that is one big thing. I mean, even volumetric lighting shows up in the Blender viewport. Having that would be nice.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, that is dreams.
That is the state as
dreams
it is.
Are
no
my
tool
reality.
Is perfect currently.
No.
But as the shots that I find myself working on more and more recently have become more effects heavy. I think for me, if I can afford the luxury of staying in Houdini, I would still stay in Houdini for lighting, shading, and rendering.
Same here. Same here, as long as any kind of data is involved other than surfaces.
Yeah. Did we mention that you found the web page?
Oh, I did not find it actually, because I my memory tricked me. It wasn't a blog post, but there is a video, so you can go to Blender Nation and probably read or watch this video that is mentioned here, like this YouTube video, where they are showing the import functionality that's coming to the USD side of things inside of Blender with the next release. And that means that Solaris gets a lot more interesting to me, because Blender and Solaris probably can work together over USD. And maybe even anytime in the future, we might see a Hydra delegate of cycles inside of Houdini, which would be great, in my opinion.
Pretty exciting. All right, let's, I think, wrap this up. We are rambling on half an hour about this.
Yeah, and we could easily ramble on another hour, but I think enough said.
Maybe. I think you'll let us know in the comments if we missed some major stuff here, some major things here. And let us know in the comments which way of working you prefer.
Oh, by the way, and please don't suggest FBX.
Yeah, add any render engines you want us to try out. Again, you had a kind of this list that we already tried. Always on the lookout for weird ones, for new ones. So just give us a shout there. And I think that's it for now.
And it's cheers.
And goodbye. See you guys.